Now, back to a couple of guys who thought Lassie could never really do any of that stuff anyway, and that Timmy was the brains of the operation. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Dr. Wayne Beasley, the owner of Cedar Creek Veterinary Clinic in Williamston. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Beasley.
Thank you very much for having me, and it's an exciting topic as I sit here looking out my window at the birds jumping around on my bird feeder.
Well, good. I love that. Well, then you must have great advice for our listeners, because one of the issues that we need to deal with is the issue of what types of problems can occur from feeding wild birds. Are there any health-related issues that the listeners should be aware of?
Well, a couple of things have occurred over the last, say 20 years that we've been doing birds. Occasionally we'll get somebody coming in saying, hey, you know what, I was able to just walk up to my feeder and pick up two birds off the ground, and their eyes are all crusted shut. What can I do for these birds? Well, for those particular birds, you can treat those, but the big thing is a bird feeder is an unnatural thing in nature. It's causing birds to congregate in an unnormal fashion. Sure. Birds are within inches of each other sometimes, and sneezing, coughing, shaking their heads, that's ways that they can spread disease to other birds. So if you're seeing birds that don't look healthy at your feeding station, what you want to do is gradually shut that station down. Say over 2 to 3 days, just don't refill it. Let the birds, discover for themselves that, hey, the food source is running low. I'm going to find other sources of food. Because even when you're feeding birds heavily, they're only really getting about maybe 25% of their nutritional requirements on any one day from a feeder. They've got lots of other sources that they tap into during the day. So that's what I would do. Just gradually reduce the amount that you're feeding and just stop so that you can stop the disease spread.
And if you wanted to set up the ideal wild bird center, a wild bird feeder would be helpful, but what about in with respect to water?
Well, with respect to water, in the winter, within the last 2 weeks, we've had some brutal snows, brutal temperatures, and birds in those situations, they're forced to either find a fast-running stream and get along the edge of that and try to grab a little water, or they're forced to eat snow, which they can do, but it's a big caloric drain on them because they have to melt that snow and heat it up to body temperature. Uh-huh. You can actually pick up heated water baths. And Rick, I don't know, you probably have those at your store, right?
Well, I don't have them, but certainly plenty of these wild bird centers in the area, yep. Anything from, I'm sure, Tractor Supply to mm-hmm. Wild Birds Unlimited to any of these other, really fantastic resources yep. for wild birds. Probably do.
Yeah, but the heated water is what's going to happen is you're going to get, again, an unnatural accumulation of birds. And some birds, they don't follow water bath etiquette, and they're going to poop and do what they do in the feeder. So it's important that you clean that thing out every day. Dump it, rinse it out. You can put a dilute bleach solution in there, just sort of, like 1 cup per gallon bleach. Spray it around in there just to clean it, rinse it out, and then refill it with fresh water every day, just so that heated water bath doesn't become like a bacteria soup for the birds. Right.
Sure, sure. And so, if it's you either don't do water because you can't commit yourself to that kind of routine or commit yourself to the routine, probably the worst case scenario is to commit yourself to the idea of having a water bath but not go through with doing the water changes as frequently as possible.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, here's one thing. People that have koi ponds that have waterfalls, that running water sometimes is a great source of water for birds. I've got a little pond in my backyard. I look out there and there's always some running water that doesn't freeze. And it's amazing. The birds, they come in and they're there for like maybe 5 to 10 seconds. They grab a little water and they're out of there.
Right, right. I have the same thing in my front yard.
Yeah.
I just have water moving all the time, and I'm sure the birds moving around, seeing that open water opportunity is a great opportunity.
Yep, and the more natural resources you can provide near your house, that's food, water, let's not forget shelter. If you can plant like junipers, pine trees, spruces, stuff like that, that are great cover for birds, mm-hmm. both visual coverage from predators and also some windbreak, that's going to just make it that much more comfortable for birds to be around your house. And then, you get the fun of walking by your window and bam, there's 20 birds in your yard.
Okay. Why don't we talk a little bit about dispelling any kind of myths that are out there? Because you would be the perfect interview actually help us in kind of the different myths associated with the types of things that we feed and mm-hmm. the type of environment we keep. Hummingbirds. Okay.
Yep.
The idea that red dye makes hummingbirds blind. Is there any truth to that?
Haven't seen any research to show that. The use for the dye is to make the hummingbird notice it from a faraway distance.
Sure, sure.
So once you have hummingbirds coming to your feeder, a lot of the feeders have red plastic as part of the feeder.
Sure.
So once your hummingbirds are coming to the feeder, you know, there's no nutritional value in that dye. It's mainly to make them spot it, and it's as an attractant. So you can switch to a homemade hummingbird diet. I know Necton makes a hummingbird food. There's
yep.
lots of different
yep.
sources for hummingbird diets that you just, you know, warm up some water and you dissolve it in there, and it's clear. And once the hummingbirds find that source, they're going to come back.
Okay, and what about rice throwing for weddings as far as you even hear things like birds can explode?
I haven't heard that, but here's the thing. Birds, I like to say this, people have a sweet tooth, birds have a fat tooth.
Okay.
So that's why birds love the nuts, they love the sunflower seeds, they want the fat.
Sure.
You know, so rice is mainly a carbohydrate. A bird is going to eat it, but they don't usually gorge themselves on it. Occasionally, you'll get some mourning doves or some pigeons that they're gonna eat it, but they have such huge voluminous crops and stuff if that stuff wants to expand a little bit, there's plenty of room in that bird for that to expand. And I have never had a bird brought in that has died from eating a particular grain type food and it somehow caused them to die. Have never had that happen.
Is there any concern or issues if you stumble across something like a dead bird? Any protocols that we should take? Any concerns? Any public health risks? Anything like that?
Well, here's the thing. You know, if you're in a major, metropolitan area, if you're in downtown Lansing, stuff like that, yeah, that bird should be picked up and disposed of. But in nature, you know what? This has been going on for millennia, and dead animals are recycled in a very efficient manner. You don't want any birds that die from an infectious disease to be in the environment where other birds can come down to investigate and themselves get contaminated. So if you can, if you've got, like I said, dead birds near your feeder or near your house, you want to, like I said, shut down gradually that feeding operation. And then some people will even take their dead wild birds up to Michigan State if you're in the Lansing area, and they can do a necropsy where they can determine why these birds are dying, because they like to keep track of that kind of stuff.
Dr. Beasley, what happens if you find an injured bird, one that has difficulty flying or something like that? What should a person do?
That's controversial. My personal opinion is the nature of the injury is going to be Mother Nature's decision on whether that bird survives or not. I mean, it's a world where we as humans want to help every animal possible, but nature is in control of the populations, and nature, some animals make it, some animals don't. That's just what nature does. If you find an injured bird that has any damage to a joint, whether that be a leg or a wing, that bird is probably not going to be able to survive in the winter. Most of those birds in the wild, they die. Predators get them, stuff like that. You can try and rehabilitate the bird by getting on Google and just Google Michigan Wildlife Rehabilitators and take that bird to a wildlife rehabilitator. But let me tell you one story. I tell you, this person dodged a bullet. They were out in a field, and they found an injured bird. They went to pick it up, not knowing that it was an injured heron. And that bird thrust its beak at their face so fast, the beak bounced off their glasses. And the person said, if I didn't have my glasses on, I think the bird would have damaged my eye, or maybe I would be blind in this eye. So we have small green herons and the larger blue herons. So some of these birds can actually be dangerous, especially if it's an injured bird of prey. Man, their talons, if they get a hold of you, now you're in a world of hurt. So you have to be cautious on larger birds. They can strike you with their beak or grab you with their feet. So in those cases, it's leave the bird alone and call somebody as far as a wildlife rehabilitator to come out and check the bird out. That would be my advice.
Great advice. I'm sorry to say, Dr. Beasley, we've run out of time, but we want to thank you for coming on the show. We've been speaking this morning with Dr. Wayne Beasley, the owner of Cedar Creek Veterinary Clinic. Thank you again, Dr. Beasley. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and you guys have a good day now. Bye-bye.
You as well. Rick, what a fascinating show. This is a topic I think we could talk about a lot more, but unfortunately, our time is up for this week. So on behalf of our producers Holly Rotter and Mark Price, and my co-host in the studio, Rick Pruse, this is Lee Cohen saying to all of you, have a great weekend, a great week ahead, and we'll see you next week on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And please take good care of your pets. Have a great week, everybody.